We hope that she has an aliyas neshama. Okay, Or HaChaim Parshas Mishpatim, Tavshin Ayin Zayin. B'shem Kol Yisrael. I'm sorry, my throat's a little bit shot, so you'll try to bear with me. Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem. These are the Mishpatim, these are the laws that you shall place before them. If you purchase an Eved Ivri, for 6 years he shall work for you, and in the seventh year he will go free. If he came alone, he will leave alone. If he's a married man, his wife will go with him. And if his master gives him a wife, and they have children, when he goes free, his wife and his children remain by his master, and he goes out alone. He goes out by himself. Okay, so the first parsha, the first little sugya, which is not so little at all, in Mishpatim, a Maseches Kedushin Inyan, is the Inyan of Eved Ivri. Yeah, it's intense. It's very intense. Okay, let's start with the second piece, Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Page number, please. Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Okay, page 102. Kuf Beis? Chaf Beis. 22. Oh, Saf. 402. Asher Tassim Lifnehem. Tam Omer B'lashan Zeh. Why does it say these are the ordinances that you shall place before them? What does it mean to place these before them? So Parshas Mishpatim should be placed before them, and the rest of the Torah should be placed behind them. What does it mean, Asher Tassim Lifnehem? What is it about these halachos that he uses such a lashon? They should be placed before them. Tam Omer B'lashan Zeh. Hagam Shabbosin with Darshu Drashos. Yes, Chazal have many interpretations of Asher Tassim Lifnehem. But Tzarech Ladas Pshatan Shel Dvar. We need to know Pasha Pshat also. V'ulai Kiliyos Sheyesh Chalakim B'Torah Sheim Chovas Gavra. Ladas Es Asher Ya'avodim. There are certain areas of halacha that you have to know to be able to function. There are other areas of halacha which, while very worthwhile to know, and a Jew should try to know Kula Torah Kula, again, each person according to his level. But there are certain areas that are achovas hagavra, that you need them to survive, to know how to serve Hashem. Vizula zeh einam b'nei bris haTorah. And without these things, you don't even know how to keep the Torah. Hamashal b'zehem lo yeida she'asur lechol treifa. If you never heard that it's asur to eat a treifa, harehu ochla. So you're going to eat it, and you're not going to realize that this type of meat is forbidden. V'chein ha'dam v'cheilev. I didn't know you're not allowed to drink blood. I didn't know you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to consume forbidden fats. U'mitzvah saseh pesach matzah maror shvisas yamim hamukudashim hinei yischayev l'daitam. I need to know about Yom Tov. I need to know about Pesach. I need to know about matzah. I need to know about maror. There are things that I need to know to be able to function. And those types of things, asher tassim lifnehem, have to be in front of me. V'yesh b'china acheres k'moshe tomar dinei toin v'nitan hilchos kiddush hachodesh hilchos karbanos v'chidome. There are other areas of halacha that I may never interact with directly. I may never interact. I'm not on the Sanhedrin. I'm not going to be involved in kiddush hachodesh. Now, I need to know kiddush hachodesh to be able to look at the moon and to be able to testify before the court that I saw the new moon. But I don't necessarily need to know. I don't need to know it the way the Beis Din knows it. There's aspects of Toin V'Nitan, there's aspects of Choshen Mishpat that I don't need to know on a daily basis to be able to function. There are aspects of Karbanos that if I'm not a Kohen, I may never interact with directly. Ha'emes ki chovas yediyas haTorah l'chol yish Yisrael. Yes, it's true. Look what he writes. It's true that the obligation of knowing the Torah is for everyone. To have the broad Torah knowledge is something we should strive for. So he's saying it's a mistake to think, oh, this area is not relevant, so why are we learning it? That's like a very high schoolish way to like Oh, why are we learning this Gemara? How is this relevant? It's relevant because it's God's wisdom. That's why it's relevant. Relevant doesn't only mean it tells you how to, you know, do a specific mitzvah action. So yes, the Chovas Yediyas HaTorah is for everyone. Aval lo yigra mitzadik eino im yachso yediyasam kol sheyesh b'Yisrael gedolim sheyesh betu v'yakachu v'yoru mishpatim l'Yisrael. But it would not be necessarily a personal lacking if the application of these things were left to a select few, that there were gedolim amongst Klal Yisrael who know how to judge the cases, know how to sanctify the moon, know how to offer those karbanos. Again, the Chofetz Chaim was pushing that Kohanim should be learning these things, because a Kohen who believes in Mashiach has to be ready to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's halacha l'maaseh for him, if we believe Mashiach is close. Chofetz Chaim wrote many manuals and svarim to guide Kohanim in that process. A, to inspire them to want to learn. It's a little sefer called Torah Or, where the Chofetz Chaim speaks about the importance of learning Kachim. And then he wrote other works, which actually help you to gain the Torah knowledge. So therefore, v'nizchakim Hashem lomar katz. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is presenting to us here somewhat of this balance. Hashem says, asher tasim lifneihem. Parshas Mishpatim, you need to know. It's funny, you might have thought, what? All these wacky cases in Mishpatim? I don't need to know these. If I have a Shiloh, then I'll go to Beis Din. This is exactly what you're talking about. This is what Beis Din needs to know. No, Mishpatim you need to know. Because how are you going to go to work without Mishpatim? How are you going to know how to build on your own property without Mishpatim? You need Bava Kaam, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra to function. That's why, maybe, it became so popular in the Yeshiva Shevelt. In Volozhin, they learned the Seder HaShas Keseder. And if you came to Volozhin, they learned from Brachos through Nida, in order. But in many yeshivas, there's select mesechtas that they do, and they spend a lot of time on some of the sections of Nezikin. So sometimes you're learning Nezikin, and you say, like, what? This is like, maybe we should learn something that's more relevant. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh, says Hashem, this is the most relevant thing of all. Asher tasim lifneim lomar, ki dinim elu yischayvu b'shmi asim kol yish Yisrael. Every Jew needs to know about these things. Shezul azeh, because without this basic knowledge, ein akona makir b'shas akinin ladas asher yikna. A kona is not going to know how to make an acquisition. Kinyonim. How do you acquire a field? How do you acquire a bottle of Snapple? Which one can you acquire with kesef? Anyone know? Can you acquire a field with kesef, or can you acquire a bottle of Snapple with kesef?
A field.
That's correct. You do not make a kinyan on metalfalin with kesef. You maybe give money to the store owner, and he grants you rishus to pick up the Snapple bottle. Right? But it's the picking up of the Snapple bottle. A field, the chasim, sheyesh la machrayis, our nicknames are Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. That's a mission in our Masecht, in Kedushin. Okay, much later on. So how do I know how to function? How do I know how to sell, how to buy? How do I know how to make a parnasa without Parshas Mishpatim? Begam ein anikni yodea ki Hashem shechero acher sheish shanim litboa atoveo. And how do I know if I'm an Eved that I go free after 6 years, if not for Parshas Mishpatim? I don't know what I'm entitled to. I don't know what my rights are as a human being. And of course, the judges need to know how to monitor the situation to tell people to free their avadim after that 6-year term. These are things that everyone needs to know. And again, more important than the specific application to this pasuk is the hashkafa that he's giving us here. There are things that we need to know how to do to be able to function. There are other areas of Torah that while we may enjoy them and we should want to know them, but it has to take a back seat. It has to take a back seat to other things that we need to know. So we have to make sure. And if we find ourselves in a yeshiva environment where the setting is that, you know, we're learning certain things and I don't have enough practical knowledge, so make sure you're taking time every day to gain that practical knowledge. Whether that's listening to a 15-minute halacha shiur every day or learning a little Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Berurah, whatever it is, but you got to fill in, you got to know how to function. Yes, you need to know Torah in all of its breadth, but you also need to know how to function. V'lezeh timsa shedibra kosu b'derach nocheach ki sikne. Ki odia adavar l'chol kone. Ki sikne evet ivri. Eila mishpat mishar tasim lifnei. You want to make a kinyan? Gotta know how to do it. And Baruch Hashem, we're learning Kiddushin. So we're getting the klalim of kinyanim. Whether we're able to apply it, may or may not be true. That might be my fault, but okay. Od yirtzeh lahasbir mitzvah shetiskabel akol. V'lezeh amar asher tasim lifnei. Another reason, a different hashkafa, and why asher tasim lifnei, why you need to make sure that this is placed before you, think about it. You go and you purchase an Eved Ivri. You purchase an Eved Ivri. Guy's a great Eved. A nice Jewish slave. Servant. Yeah? After 6 years, it's time to go. That's it. It's over. You might feel frustrated by that. You might feel, oh, come on. This is a very annoying halacha. Here I am. I trained him for 6 years. Now we finally get into a good groove. And I have to let him go. So Asher Tasim Lifnehem, look what he writes. Perish. Hagam ki davar zeh yesh bo chesron haratzon. Sheakona avdo yimaher lishalch lacher vavshanim. It's a difficult thing, and there's a feeling of loss or lack of interest when the master has to free his Eved Ivri after a brief 6 years, he says. But realize, Tasim hadvarim lifnehem. Let's try to think more broadly. I know at the moment, right now, you like this Eved, and now he's going free, and you're going to have to buy yourself a new Eved and train a new worker for yourself. But let's think about this. Let's not be so callous. Let's think about this. This is an Eved Ivri. How did he become an Eved Ivri? What happened to this guy? Ki mitzvah zo lizkos kol echad mehem, hi ki kishiyeh Eved lo yavod bo la'olam. Think about it. Is it good institutionally for avadim? Right now you're thinking about yourself and you're saying, well, you know, it's annoying for me to have to let go of my Eved. We get that. But let's think about this more broadly. In terms of the avadim, how do you think the Eved feels? And more than that, Mr. Adon, Master, let me ask you, is it possible that one day you could become an Eved? Right now you're on top. But is it possible that you could become an Eved? Uvizeh yisratza bedavar. Try to appease him. Asher tasim lifneim. Try to explain to him why this is beneficial, again, for the world, for the Jewish people, to have this halacha. Ki kol echad ya'arich ha'davar shehu lizchuso litzad ki kol ivri ha'nimkar einu el litzad dachako. O ganav, umachru ha'basin. V'zeh yisovavu ha'oni uva'osu matzav kulam ashirim hayu. V'ein zeh ela ha'davar ha'misgalga v'chol echad yosim lafanov. She'elav nogeya hechaser. We say to this fellow, this is beneficial for you now. I know right now you're only seeing one side of it. You're saying, I can afford an Eved, and this guy is going to go free, and that's going to cost me. But we say to this person, guess what? Wealth is a galgal hachozer. And while right now you think it's not beneficial for you, having this halacha in place is actually beneficial for you right now. Because it's entirely realistic that one day you'll be an Eved. That you'll be sold because what? Letzad dachakal, he said, because he couldn't afford. He was poor, so he sold himself to slavery. Or maybe ganav umacharuhu, he stole and he couldn't pay back. So you're a big shot, you're a wealthy guy, yeah? But what happens if your money gets the better of you, and you get involved in some scandal, and you start stealing money, and you can't pay it off, and guess what? Basin decides to sell you as an Eved. So realize, asher tasim lefneiam, realize this is beneficial for you. It's beneficial for you now. It certainly would be beneficial for you if you were in his shoes. And therefore, again, realize that there's this galgal hachozer. There's this galgal hachozer. And with this, we can answer this opening Zohar in this week's Parsha. Anyone know what the Zohar says about Parsha's Mishpatim? Mishpatim is the Parsha of, the Zohar says, Gilgulim. Reincarnation. What does reincarnation have to do with Mishpatim? So the Baal Shem Tov famously explained, a person goes to a din Torah, and a person says, he knows that he's in the right. He says, I know what happened here, and I'm positive that this guy owes me money, and I don't owe him money. And you come before an honest Beis Din, an emistic Beis Din, they hear your taina, and they pass it against you. And you're terribly distraught, because you know, you're not choshish that there's corruption in the Beis Din, but it makes no sense to you how the psak came out in favor of the other guy. It just doesn't make any sense. Says the Baal Shem Tov, Dahi Seder de Gilgula. This is the Parsha of Gilgulim. In a previous lifetime, perhaps, what? You took advantage of him. Or something went wrong, and actually went wrong in a Din Torah. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu
in some hashkacha pratis kind of way, is guiding the pieces back to their proper place. So in a previous lifetime, you took money erroneously from him. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu is settling the score that he's taking money, which is appears to be, again, it's an honest psaka based set, and the psak is binding. So from a halachic standpoint, the psak is a good psak. But you know something's off here. Well, maybe, says the Baal Shem Tov, says the Zohar, Sidra de Gilgula, this is the Seder of Gilgulim. But now, based on this little piece of our Chaim HaKadosh, we can say a different shot. We understand, this is the Parsha of Gilgul, not only reincarnation, but this is the Parsha where what? We have to remind myself that sometimes you're the Adon and sometimes you're the Evan. That sometimes, not only in different lifetimes, in different Olamos, in different Gilgule Neshamos, right? But even in one lifetime, there's different Gilgulim. Sometimes you're the one who gets injured by someone else being irresponsible. So guess what? Tasim lifnayim, put these halachos clearly before you so you don't do the same to someone else. Realize that sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're on the bottom. And therefore, it's mutually exclusive for all of us to accept these halachas. That's what it means. Asher tasim lifnayim. Again, use the lashon. Uvizeh yisiratzeh. That you should have yeshiva das. You shouldn't begrudgingly send away the eved at the end of 6 years and say, he got the better part of the deal. It's good for you, trust me. In the bigger scheme of things, it's actually very, very good for you. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Says the Pasuk, Kisikna Eved Ivri. Is it better to buy an Eved Knani or an Eved Ivri? Ulai, Sheyachave Lomar Sheimiyeh Lefanov Liknos Eved Knani Ve'Eved Ivri, Yakdim HaIvri. It could be that the Pasuk says, Kisikna, if you buy, Eved Ivri. If you're making a purchase, ideally purchase an Eved Ivri. More so than an Eved Kanani. Why is that so? V'zeshiyar kasuv ki tirtze liknos Eved taktim liknos Ivri v'lo tomar ekna Eved she'evod bo ad olam. Better to buy the Eved Ivri, where his term is more limited, than to buy the Eved Kanani, where he'll be forced to work for you for much longer. Why is that the right hashkafa? Because again, it reminds ourselves that we don't want to take advantage of someone in a way that's unjust or unfair. We want to feel someone else's pain, even though the system of Avdus has a place amongst the Jewish people. But the notion of slavery forever, that this person is going to be your slave, that you own someone else, is something that the Torah wants to certainly at least keep us sensitive to. So therefore, better to purchase an Eved Ivri with a limited term, and we'll see more in a second why he favors the Ivri, than to buy the Eved Kanani, where he serves you ad olam. V'lo ekne Eved she'acher she'shonim ha'shalchenu. Right? A person might say to himself, I want to buy an Eved that lasts forever, and I don't want to buy this Eved that by the time again I train him, he's out the door. But the Torah says, that's a bad attitude. You should want to buy the Eved who you're going to free. V'tam shekaro Ivri. Why is he called Ivri? It's a funny word, Eved Ivri. I mean, Avram is referred to as the Ivri, right? But at this point in the Torah, we're already by our Sinai, we're Yisrael, we're Yaakov. What do you mean, Eved Ivri? Why not Eved Yisrael? It's a good question, huh? We saw Rashi in Kedushin that Eved Kanani obviously doesn't mean from Canaan, right? Canaan is a code word for all the nations of the world. So why are we calling him an Eved Ivri? Since when does Klai Yisrael go by, this is a Jewish slave? What's Eved Ivri? Is it a kesher to Avram? Is it making us think of Avram Ivri? Right? Avram was against the whole world. He was on one side of the river, Ivra Anar. What are we thinking about here? V'tam shekaro Ivri. Ki chosha kosov liyaches shem avdus al Yisrael. Yisrael, which is our essential name, it's not proper that the relationship between one human being and another human being should be called what? Eved Yisrael. Therefore, he's referred to by this name. Now, level one, because he's about to say Od Ramas, and you're going to say, what do you mean Od Ramas? You're about to explain what you just said. No. Level one, what the Aruch Chaim is saying, is that it's not shy, that the notion of Eved to a Jew who's a Ben Chorin is itself a bit repulsive. The notion of using the word Eved in Yisrael, now Eved of course has a positive connotation also, to be an Eved Hashem. That's what he's about to say in the second, that's the ode. The first pshat is that a Jew has to think of himself as a Ben Melech. A Jew has to think of himself as a Melech even. Right? So the notion of Eved, in conjunction with our name Yisrael, which is the name of Sarara, is already a misnomer. You can't have such a phrase, Eved Yisrael. Furthermore, Od Ramaz, Kishem Avdus Al Yisrael, who over Ve'eno Kavua, Mitam Kila Hashem, Heim Avadim Ve'yetze Mitachas Yado B'shana Hazayim. Eved Ivri. This is a status that what? Is going to be over. This is a status that's going to pass. It's not going to last. In terms of complete commitment to something, a Jew is never going to sell himself to another Jew. Again, there is a situation, there is reality, there are halachos of Eved Ivri. But we want to remind ourselves that this situation will pass. Why? Because my essential avdus is by the Rabbanu Shalom. Od yirmas shelo ba lidei midazu ad she'over al Torah u'mitzvos. A third pshat. So again, pshat number one, to say Eved Yisrael is itself not a comfortable term for us. Pshat number two, this type of avdus is going to pass, as opposed to my permanent avdus, which is my avdus to Hashem. Pshat number three, Eved Ivri, sounds like a lashon of Avera, that he was over on the Torah. Says the Orachayim HaKadosh, Ad she'over al Torah mitzvos. He didn't enter into this state of being until he was over, until he violated the Torah mitzvos. U'mechuvan l'divrayim, like the Gemara says in Kedushin, Ki b'machru based in b'gnei vaso akosu medaber. The Pasuk is talking about a person who is sold for his iniquities. V'gam b'mocher atzmo machmas dachako. And if you'll say, wait a minute, that's only one of the two main scenarios in which an Eved Ivri becomes an Eved Ivri. He's sold by Beis Din for his crime, I get that. But why is he called Eved Ivri if he sold himself because he's poor? Answer the question, you know the answer. Or Chayim L'shitaso, that's your hint. Yeah? What's the answer? He's poor, he doesn't have money. He's selling himself because he can't pay for anything. Or Chayim L'shitaso. Whose fault is it that he's poor? No, not Hashem. Him. God doesn't do anything bad. We do everything bad. So how did he end up poor? Must be an Avera. Must be an Avera. Now, every poor person is a sinner. Okay, so we also know, and we'll see it once again in this week's Parsha, and we'll see it in a very strong way, maybe the strongest way we've seen it yet, that doesn't mean it was his Avera. It doesn't mean it was necessarily his Avera. The drunk driver who drives off the road, God forbid, and kills the 5-year-old girl playing on the side of the road with her pink bouncy ball, she didn't do the sin. He was the responsible one. But guess what? That's reality. That's bechira. When a person acts, other people can be harmed by that. That is the maila and the very great danger of bechira, which we've seen many, many times in the parish of the Rechaim HaKadosh. So when we say that an avera caused this person to be poor, yes, sin matters. Schar va'onesh. Even if you don't want to accept the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, so how about we accept the 3 principles of the Sefer Karma of Yosef Albo? And one of them is schar va'onesh. That means if you act improper, things happen. Things happen to you, and yes, there are people who are harmed by your actions. And that's very sad. You say that's not fair, don't worry. This is the Seder of Gilgulim. Hashem will work it out. But again, realize, I'll take your question in 2 seconds, realize that what? That Eved Ivri, if a person's in a difficult situation, it's not because God hates you. And it's not because God doesn't want to do good for you. Lehefech, God wants to do good for you and He loves you. So how did this come to be? Unfortunately, we're not living up to the expectations. Again, we got a mocher atzma machmas dachako, shemasinu shamar kasov ki yimacher lecha achicha ivri. If your destitute brother sells himself to you, gam hu lo ba lidei zo ad shekar kadmu lo averos. This would not happen unless there was sin that caused this to happen. Could maimer of Ami, like Rav Ami says in Shabbos, ein yisurin below avon. There is no suffering in this world without sin. Again, lav dafka, I think the Rechaim would agree, lav dafka, and you'll see it clearer, in Parachav Beis Pasakei a little later, but lav dafka, you did the sin. But there's no question that bad things happen because of Averus. Okay? Yeah?
So why do you think that Avram was called Ivri? If it shows some kind of sin.
Why is Avram called Ivri in this context? In this context? I don't know. Because he worshipped the Avodah Zarah? Rambam says, well, Avram worshipped the Avodah Zarah. That's pretty big of Avera. No, he was. He started off as Avram. He became Avraham, right? We don't call him Avraham Ivri. But Avram didn't have a perfect beginning. The Rambam says that he worshipped Avodah Zarah. He certainly was the byproduct of great Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which means that he had some Aveira in him that needed to be conquered. And he did, and he conquered it. He led the Tshuva movement, and was Makariv not only himself, but countless others. So, but again, in Lav Dafka, I have to plug in this interpretation of Ivri to Avram Ivri. But something to think about, it's interesting. Yeah.
You said that no one gets Yisurin for without sin.
I didn't say that. Rav Ami said that. Rav Ami.
Said that.
Not the Rav Ami from the Tiv. This is the Rav Ami from the Gemara. Yeah.
What about Yisurin Shel Avon, bro?
Yisurin Shel Avon. Good question. So Rav Ami says, ain't Yisurin below Avon. All right, what about Yisurin Shel Avon? Does Rav Ami not agree to that whole category that we call Yisurin Shel Avon? Or is he saying that, you know, normally Yisurin are caused by sin? Yes, there is an elevated category called Yisurin Shel Ava, but I don't know. I'm not sure if Rav Ami, what Rav Ami personally would say about that. Does he not believe there's such a category? Does he believe in that? And he's just saying, listen, most of it, that's a very lofty level. For the average bear, you know, you get into trouble in life because you did Averus, or because someone did Averus. Again, lav dafka you. We'll see later on. It's a sad reality, but I really believe it. I really believe it. I don't think it's so hard to believe. I don't think it's hard to believe. I believe that Hashem keeps the scorecard very balanced in a way that we don't understand. But in terms of the way we understand, when that drunk driver kills Nebuch, that poor girl on the side of the road, right? And you say it's not fair. What did she do wrong? The answer is nothing. The answer is he did something wrong, and he took it out on someone else, and that's called bechira. And that's the high stakes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to play in this life. Hopefully we'll choose good, and we'll make people's lives indirectly better, and not indirectly worse. But according to the Arachayim HaKadosh, you could take a gun and kill someone now. That's Bechira. Yes, on the grandest scale, Hashem is keeping score. But in terms of our ability to function in the now, that's a very, very, very great power that Hashem has given us. Again, this is Shita of Arachayim HaKadosh. You don't have to adopt the Shita. There are other ways to present these ideas. Yeah.
Answer that question. You say that sometimes you got to punish the guy you love. Right.
Well, you're right. In a certain sense, every punishment is Yisurin Shel Ava. Right. It's your way of getting kapara for the sin. So that's interesting. If you think about it like that, yes, Hashem doesn't punish with anger, even though again we have lashonos like that throughout Tanakh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzem, right, is Hashem, like he said to Moshe Rabbeinu. You accuse me of being Elokim, I'm Hashem. I'm Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's who I really am. Ani Hashem Lo Shinesi. I'm Hashem. That never changes. I'm always Midas Sarachim. Okay? So again, this is why he's called an Eved Ivri. Now, I want to look at a couple of pieces. There's some very long pieces. There's some very technical pshat-based pieces in this parsha. And there are some very long... there are some very long technical pieces. And there are some very long... drush pieces where he says, I'm going to explain the whole parsha b'derech haremes. So I want to look at those pieces because I think those were the ones which will probably interest us most and in a certain sense will be the most meaningful in terms of our practical avodas Hashem. Okay, so let's take a look. It's a little bit hard to find. It's in Pasuk Dalet, Chaf Aleph Dalet. Okay, it's probably like the third big paragraph in Ode Nira Lefarish. Saf Hey, page 405, for those who are using the edition we have. Again, it begins, it's Pasuk Dalet, Chaf Aleph Dalet. The first paragraph begins with the Dira Masel Im Adonav. Second one is Achein, and the third one, at least here, is Ode Nira Lefarish Aparsha Derech Remes. Ode Nira Lefarish Aparsha Derech Remes. Ki Titzave HaTorah LaAdam Lasum Lefanav B'tmidus Kol Edvar Me'ila Bein Einav. Keep these things before your eyes at all times. B'derech Remez, the parsha begins, Ve'ele mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. I want you to keep these psukim before your eyes at all times. Why? For me especially, b'zman hazeh, I don't have an Eved Ivri. These are psukim I don't need to know at all. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, no, B'derech Remez, Hashem is saying, you better learn these psukim extra well. Because these psukim will mamish tell you what it means to be a true Eved Hashem. Look at this. Look what he writes. Keep these asher tasim lifneihem, bein einav, all the time. Who amar asher tasim lifneihem, she'tamid yasim ha'adam inyan zeh lefanav. And look what he does, b'derech remez. Look what he does to these psukim. It's amazing. He writes as follows. Vehu. Ki sik na evan ivri. Halo yadata ki adam nechlak lishnayim. Ki sik na evan ivri. When you acquire an evan ivri, a person we know is made up of two components. Chelek echad ruchani v'hu ayikar. The main part of you is your neshama. That is who you are. That is the essential you. But the neshama travels this world in a body. Bechelek echad gashmi shabar Hashem l'neshama l'shamsha. Hashem made a physical part to escort and to help and to assist the neshama. Shebeemtza uso mekayim kama mitzvos asher tziva Hashem. Can the neshama put on tefillin without an arm? Neshama needs an arm. Neshama needs a head. Neshama needs a digestive system to eat matzah, to mekayim that mitzvah. So the neshama needs a body. So says the Rechaim HaKadosh, v'lo yikare shem eved, ki eino ela shamash lenefesh shalah yikare adam. The soul is called Adam, and the body is called Eved. Okay, those are the code words. Because the body is here to really serve the soul. The master, so to speak, is the neshama, and the body is the Eved. Kosh amar akasav lekaman, like the pasuk says later on, abasar Adam, right, lo v'gomer. Shezayagid ki lo habasar yikare Adam. That your flesh is not Adam. That's not who you are. That's not man. That's not the defining characteristic of a person, his body. V'chein amar, like it says in Yecheskel, Adam atem, right? Atem kriyan Adam, v'lo umas ha'olam. That you are called Adam and not the nations of the world. What separates us from the nations of the world? Not our bodies, right? Our neshama is of a different quality. Ah, nishmas Yisrael. So Adam apparently is a code word for the neshama, okay? And Eved is a code word for the body. That the nations of the world, ain lehem nefesh ruchanis, they don't have that same quality of soul. They also have a soul, but like the Tanya explains, they only have the lower level soul. Okay, so Adam. V'lezeh mitzaveh Torah la'adam ki sikna Eved ivri. And therefore, the Torah says to an Adam, the Torah says to your soul, when you acquire an Eved ivri, when you acquire a body, what does that mean? Perish. Ivri, over. Realize that your Eved is ivri. That your body's not going to last forever. Isn't that beautiful? He says that your Eved is ivri. That's not who you are. Don't invest so much in it because it doesn't last forever. It's going to be over. It's going to pass. Ki eno kayim la'ad. Ki mi gever yichye velo yireh mavis. Because who can live forever? Now the truth is, we'll see in a few moments, he's going to tell us who can live forever. But the pashas is, we don't live forever. Al derech ketzel over. Life is like a passing shadow. It passes quickly. Uzman kvi aso huad samich shana. It could be that the average life of a person is a mere 60 years. Now again, as the Rechaim speaking based on how long people traditionally lived in his time, he's also basing it on a Gemara. David HaMelech says, Yimei shana seino shivim shana. Okay. Different shitas of what the typical lifespan of a person is. But he quotes the pasuk in Iyov, in the fifth parak, Tavo bechelach elei kaver. The Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan darshins on that pasuk in Iyov that bechelach is gematria 60. Ki ben samach shana hu zmano sha'adam leleches kechushban bechelach sha'oz hu ka'alos gadish. So for a period of time, for 60 years, right, a person is able to carry himself in a substantial way, but then he's heading to the grave. So therefore, look how he darshens it. When you acquire an Eved Ivri, when you're acquiring a body which is not going to last forever, how long is your body going to last? Sheish Shanim. For 6 years, now he says 6 is really 60. Look what he says, Perish, Kol Yamav Heim Shishim. Av Hagam Shamar Sheish, Yesh Cheshbon Sheyichlo Klolis Echad, V'chan Kol HaAsiri. Right, sometimes, we know that on traveling along the same track is the ones column and the tens column and the even in Cheshbon, it's his code word for Gematria. When we do Cheshbon, sometimes what? We have a concept called Mispar Katan, where 10 becomes 1. So there's a relationship between the two. So 6 years might mean 6 cycles. In other words, 6 cycles of 10, 60 years. Okay. Uvashviyas, perish, be'eser shanam ashviyas, yetzei lechafshi ha'eved. Then, yetzei lechafshi chinam. What does the pasuk say? He goes out for free. What does that mean? Al derech omro b'meisim chafshi, like it says in Tehillim Peches, b'meisim chafshi, that when you die, you're chafshi, you're freed from mitzvah obligation. V'omro tevas chinam, chafshi chinam, you go out for free. What does that mean, you go out for free? Lirmoz al yad mi tiyeh hayitziyah. Who sets you free in that seventh year, when you enter that seventh dimension of life, right? When the soul separates from the body. You go out chinam. What's chinam? Shehu sam v'chelosav. This alludes to the Malachim Aves, the Sitra Achra, the Sam, and his cohorts, chelosav, his armies, his legions. Sheheim nirmazim b'tevas chinam. As is hinted to in the word chinam. Why is that chinam? Why do you call the Malachim Aves, or again, whatever term you want to use, Sitra Achra, the Samach Mem, why is that called chinam? Because it says in the Zohar, Nirmazim b'tevas chinam, like it says in the Zohar Kadosh, ki b'mile de magonohu zeinayhu dahi sitra. Ki b'mile de magonohu zeinayhu dahi sitra. Because you know how the Sitra Achra sustains itself? For free. He eats for free. What does it mean he eats for free? V'lezelo shalti b'davar mitzvah sha'osa adam b'dam yakarim. When a person does, look what he's about to tell. He's about to tell us a big klal on Avodas Hashem. How do you get rid of the Yetzer Hara? How do you get rid of the Sitra Achra? How do you get rid of the Malachim Aves? It's all the same. How do you deal with negativity, negative forces that are trying to take advantage of you? And the answer is, invest heavily in your neshama. Heavily both in terms of effort, in terms of expense. The Sitra Achra is chinam. He goes for weaklings. The same way that Amalek, which is the physical embodiment of the Yetzer Hara, preys upon the Nechashalim, the weaklings. Things that are free, things that come easy. So if you're going to be a Jew who tries to take an easy path and doesn't work hard in Avodas Hashem, you're going to be a soft target, so to speak, for the Sitra Achra. He likes to eat for free. He doesn't like to work hard. That's why when Yaakov says to Sarah Shal Esav, I'm sorry, what's your name? What is your name, sir? Then all of a sudden he backs off. He's like, whoa. Right? Yes, Yaakov got injured in that fight, but he was the first one to ever confront the Yetzer Hara head on. When the Yetzer Hara, right, was challenging Yaakov, and Yaakov says, what's your name? Do you have an essence? Do you have a name? Or are you just dimyonos? Are you just like, you talk a big game, but as soon as I step up, you're going to back off? And that's what happens. Sarah Shal Esav backs off. So again, the Sitra Achra likes to feed, says the Zohar, on things that come easy. When you spend a lot of money on a mitzvah, when you invest in your Yiddishkeit, then guess what? The Yetzer Hara is not going to take those things away from you. The Sitra Achra can't get those from you. And look what he writes here. Tumah comes cheap. It's easy to get. You want tumah? It's easy. It's fast and easy, and it's getting faster and easier. And even cheaper, less expensive. Masha'ekin dvar mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah takes investment. Kedusha takes time, takes investment, takes thoughtfulness, takes even money, financial investment. Tzarich lahem torech gadol v'damim yukar. It takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of financial investment. But again, if a person does that, then he's investing in his neshama. And therefore, even when the body has to be returned, he's invested in the right way. Yeah. Let's hear. Right. 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 Damim. Put money into damim. Right. Damim means nefesh, and damim means money. So put money into your soul, right? That's what really lasts. That's an investment. That's the real money you have, basically, right? Those are the mitzvahs that you have are your real earnings. Okay, so let's go weiter with the drasha, the beautiful drasha. The Rechayim says, let's go a little bit further. Im bigapo yavo bigapo yetzei, the pasuk says. Gapo means if he comes alone, he leaves alone. Gapo is such a funny word. Why don't you just say if he comes levado, he leaves levado? Why doesn't it say if he comes alone? Vayivasar Yaakov levado. It doesn't say Vayivasar Yaakov bigapo. What's bigapo? Bigapo yavo, bigapo yetzei. Look what he says. Achein yesh ladas kim sigel mitzos umaisim tovim. Bekona laatzmo koach. Yimtza koach lalos biyom hatchia. The investments that you make now will stand for you in the future. If he puts time into mitzvos and maisim tovim, if he acquires strength, and you'll see what that means in a second, then he will find the strength to rise up in the times of tchias hameisim. He will have the right to come back in the times of tchias hameisim. Al derech omro, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'yatzitzu meir ke'esef ha'aretz, v'zeu she'amar im bigapo. What does gapo mean? He says, "Perush lashon gaf al derech omro al gape mirome." Gape means wings. On the wings of mirome, on the wings of high places. So in begapo yavo, if he comes with wings, then begapo yetze. That means if he comes, if at the end of his life he has wings. What are wings? What are wings? Did the Arachaim have some like funny picture of angels with wings? Well, it's not such a funny picture because that's how they're described in Nach, right? But we have like a funny picture in our head. If I asked you to draw a picture of an angel, we have a probably very secular picture in our mind of what an angel looks like. What are these wings that he's talking about? So the answer is, the Zohar says that any mitzvah that's not performed b'dechilu urechimu, a mitzvah that's not performed b'dechilu, dachil, yira, urechimu, and ahava, then it doesn't have gadfin, it doesn't have wings to be able to go up to go up. That famous maaseh of Al Shem Tov came to a town, and he was coming into the Beis Medrash, and he said, there's no room in the Beis Medrash. There's no room, what do you mean? We'll get you a seat, there's plenty of room. He said, no, the Beis Medrash is full of mitzvahs and maaseh tovim. He said, what do you mean? So that's good, that's the place you would want to be. He says, no, they do mitzvahs here in such a way that they don't have wings to ascend. So all the tefillahs that are down in this place, they're still in the room. They're sitting in the room. They haven't ascended to the heavens. They're trapped. They don't have the wings. There's no av and there's no yira in this place. So in Begapo Yavo, if your mitzvos are able to have the wings of av and yira, he doesn't say that explicitly here, but that's part of what he's hinting to. If you have mitzvos of Maisim Tovim, right, which again, only actually make it, they only register above if they have wings, so to speak. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, that Nimshuli Yisrael Liyona, that the Jewish people are compared to a dove, in its coming and its going. The Jewish people are meant to accrue merit in this world. V'omro yavo, perish. What does it mean, in begapo yavo, perish, al derech omro, kiva ha-shemesh, al shimsha. Kiva ha-shemesh means when the sun sets. So, in begapo yavo, if at the end of his life, he comes with wings, right? When the sun sets, so to speak, when time is up, he has wings. Begapo yetze, perish, ba'oso kanaf yetze min ha'aretz ve'es ha-tchia. With those same mitzvos, he'll have the strength to what? To emerge and to come back to this world in the times of tchias ha-mesim. Va'acharei naflo kima tiyelo. And after his fall, namely death, he'll rise again. V'yadiyas ha'afachim shavei. And therefore, we can derive, again, through this principle, the opposite. Shim ba'olam hazeh lo yishtadol b'segel ha'tov, that God forbid, if he doesn't prepare himself wings in this world, ein koach bo lalos, then such a person will not be zocha to tchias ha'mesim. And that's a very frightening thought. Okay? Good? Okay. Let's go to the next piece of Omro. Imbal Ishahu V'yotza Ishto Imo. I think, again, I don't know anything, but I think that this is probably the piece that's most famous in the Parsha. And a lot of other Sifrei Chassidus expound upon this next piece. And it's very, very, very relevant for Jews like ourselves in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, where we dafka have lowly souls. The assumption is, I'm not, God forbid, speaking negatively about anyone in the room, you're all big tzaddikim, amech kulam tzaddikim, and every neshama is very holy, but lemaisa, we believe in Yerida Sedaros, and lemaisa, we believe that most of the fresh souls have come to this world already. So we're all recycled. We're back, we're trying to fix a little bit here and there, to do what we can. I've told you in the past, the Skol Yerebba, in one of his svarim, brings from the Chafetz Chaim, that in the period right before Mashiach, like this is the Mashiach, is compared to Erev Shabbos, the same way that Mashiach is Yom Shekula Shabbos. So if Yom Shekula Shabbos is Mashiach, right before Mashiach is Erev Shabbos. Chafetz Chaim said, what does Erev Shabbos look like? Running around like a chicken without your head, just trying to get something done, right? To make sure that somehow you'll make it to Shabbos in time. Oh, did he do this? Did he do that? A little this, a little that. right? Making sure all the little pieces are in place. It's a very stressful time. So guess what? Says the Chafetz Chaim, before Mashiach comes, that's what we're going to be holding. We're going to be dabbling in all sorts of things. We're not so good at anything, right? But we're just trying to get it together enough that when Mashiach arrives, we don't look like a bunch of fools. Okay? So we have low souls. That's our avoda. It's nice to be embarrassed. That's the mitzvah of our life. But even a person who has a lowly soul, if he works on his soul, if he develops his soul, in fact, he can have a certain mila that's even greater than the person who is born into some lofty, family or into some lofty time period or with some lofty soul. Look what he writes. It's beautiful. Take a look. Va'omra. Imbal ishahu v'yotza ishto ima. Again, if the Eved Ivri, Pashup Shat for a moment, if he came into his servitude with a wife, he goes out with a wife. But says the Rachaim b'derach drush, kan ramza or b'derach ramz, kan ramza Torah sod gadol. Again, the Sfarim pick up on this and they're busy with this. V'hu ki yesh lecha adam shekana nishmaso b'emtzos chozek ma'asav hatovim. There's a type of person in this world who acquires his soul, he earns the right to his soul by working hard to do good things. And he becomes the husband, so to speak, of his soul. He marries his soul. Marries means he's deeply connected to his soul. He has an exclusive relationship with his soul. Kiddushin. I'm not going to let my soul get involved in anything other than what? Than the good things that I want my soul to experience in this world. The Zohar says, on the Pasuk Shor, O Kesev, O Eiz, Ki Avalein, Ki Abahemos Me'ez Leidasom Konim Seichel Sheyesh L'Shor. When an ox is born, an ox has the intellect of an ox. Not a baby ox, an ox. It's born with a certain understanding. Does that mean animals can't learn anything? I don't know. I'm not sure what the science, and we'd have to call Rabbi Slifkin and ask him about the ability of animals to learn. For those who know the zoo rabbi, okay. But there's a certain knowledge and awareness and maturity of seichel that an animal is born with that a baby on day one can't even begin to have, that a human cannot have. So why did Hashem make it that animals are smarter than us, even if it's just for a short period of time? Because Hashem wants to show a person that, you know what defines you? Not the way that you're born. You're born with nothing. Let's see what you can do with it. In accordance with pure deeds, right? Like Shem Zayah Zoch. Kefi ma'asav zocha, nosnim lo nefesh zocha yatir. In accordance with what? With pure actions, he's given a purification of his soul. V'chulu, zocha yatir, v'chulu. And step by step by step, he refines and purifies his own existence. Hinei shevem tzavos ma'isav kona neshama, nekres isha. So by doing mitzvahs ma'isim tovim, you acquire the isha. She becomes yours. She becomes your spouse. You own your neshama. U'kamokin metzinu shekaru chach me'emes. We find tikkunei zohar also, that the neshama is called isha. V'lizeh amar, imbal isha hu. Again, we're talking about a person who came to this world. And now if he's a Baal Isha, that means he has bialis over his Isha. Shekinah Kaniskar. He's acquired his own soul by what? By working hard in this world. V'yatza Ishto. What does the Pasuk say? If he came with a wife, again, he came back to the Olam HaEmes with a wife in this drasha. V'yatza Ishto Imo. Then his wife comes with him. What does that mean? Look, Perish, Afilu Achre Yitzias Ishto, Afalpichen Odena Imo, Vinishar Chai, Afilu Achre Moso. A person can be alive even when he's not alive anymore. What does that mean? The neshama lives on? No, more than that. We're saying that the concept that the Gemara has in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Ches, which he's about to quote, that Tzadikim Afilu B'misasan Kriyim Chayim, that a tzaddik in death is called alive. What does that mean? So he's not dead. Well, he's dead, but he's also alive. What does that mean? So look, he quotes the Gemara Shabbos, Kufnun Beis. Tzeyu lamad mimaisa shehuva meseches Shabbos, I'm sorry, Kufnun Beis, Amun Beis. Shalhanu kapulo'i v'chulo, nachar bu'gavra v'chulo, shayimedaber l'achar moso, dot, dot, dot. What? What's that Gemara? So the Gemara tells a story that someone was hired once to dig in a particular area. And as the diggers were digging, all of a sudden, right, they heard a voice calling out to them, "Why are you disturbing me?" And they were very frightened by this. They went back to it was one of the Tanaim who had assigned them to dig. He went to and said, "What's going on here?" So they came back to the spot, and he says, "Who's here?" Right? And one of the other, you know, great sages who had passed away, responds, "I'm here." He said, "Why are you tired of the ability to talk?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "But you're dead." He says, "Yeah, but I lived a life of righteousness." So, like, what does that mean? They buried a guy who was alive? What's going on? I mean, the doctor obviously wrote a death certificate and they buried him. So there's some inyan, in a good way, of being alive even when you're dead. A tzaddik's interaction with this world. The fact that his body doesn't rot. The Gemara has a whole discussion there. He says to him, shouldn't your body be dust? So he says, "No, why should I be dust?" And he starts to explain, "I have schusim, why should I be dust?" He says, "Yeah, but even your bones are intact. It looks like your bones are intact." He says, "Touch me, feel my bones, they're real bones." So he touched him. He said, "Your bones are intact, that's crazy, your bones are intact." He says, "Yeah, it's because the pasuk says that kina, or rekev atzamos kina, or kina rekev atzamos, if I always forget. The pasuk says that the rotting of bones comes from kina, from jealousy. I was never jealous of anyone. I'm alive." Okay, so again, why was he buried? But the point is, tzaddikim afilu misasim kriyum chayim. A tzaddik has real interaction. So he says to him, "Well, if you're alive, why don't you..." This is what he says. This is the Gemara. "If you're alive, why don't you get up and go back to your family?" Okay, so it's a strange Gemara. We have to figure out how exactly this works. If you're alive, you're dead. If you're so alive, so why don't you just come out of your grave and come back? But the point is, there is a madrega that a person who feels a kesher to his neshama, whenever the neshama has to go back for whatever reason, the body maintains a kesher to that neshama. And the body doesn't undergo all of the terrible descriptions of the rotting of the bones and the flesh being eaten by maggots and being returned to dust, right? Which Chazal uses as a very painful description. That a neshama watches its body decay from on high, that's a painful thing. So when the body is able to retain itself, to remain intact, that's an amazing thing. But again, that's only for a person who's worked hard to acquire his soul in this world. Okay? Next little paragraph. Od yechavin ba'omer imbal isha. Lomar. Im hu adam asher kom achshavosa v'yigiosa v'tarcha v'olam hazev afilu machal v'mashkeo enu el b'shvil ha'neshama. Imbal isha. If you're bailus, if you're achrayus, if you're responsibility, if everything you do in this world, from your eating to your drinking to everything else that you do is b'shvil ha'neshama. If you're baal isha, if your every focus is about your neshama, like it says in Mishlei, tzadik ochel lisova nafsho, namely, lahagdil haruchnius, a tzadik eats to expand his soul, not to expand, not to satisfy his body, but to satisfy his soul. Odom kazeh yikare baal isha, kabal hazeh shetoreach b'shvil isha. Just like a husband, a good husband, is always thinking, how can I provide for my wife? What can I do for her? Lazun, lafarnes, lakalkul, lamalus ritzona. To provide for her, right? To place food on the table, to buy her clothing, to make her happy. So too, this person, this Baal Isha, is always thinking about his soul. What can I do for my soul? How can I best service my soul? Adam kazeh, such a person, that he's transformed his chomer, his physical existence, into tzura, into purified form. The neshama says, "I feel comfortable." And even when the body's in the grave, the neshama is still there on some way. It's not so much that the body goes, you know, out and above. Although there is a notion of tzaddikim who's, you know, left this world intact and went up with their bodies. But the other way, the thing that we can strive for is to try to make our neshama feel so comfortable within our body that even when the body's placed in the grave, the neshama still feels it has a place there. And that protects the body. And that allows for a better tchiyas meisim. And that allows for a better experience even in death, when a person is no longer physically alive in this world. Okay? Okay, turn the page. Two final things. We just don't have time because it's pretty late. But the next piece, he goes on, I have to just say it outside. The next piece, right after we just were, he says, Im Adonav Yitin Lo Isha. Im Adonav Yitin Lo Isha. If God gives you a lofty soul, if for whatever reason you were born with a lofty soul, then guess what? You didn't really earn it. And if you didn't really earn it, then Isha Viladea, then the children, Tiel Adonah. They belong to God. The mitzvahs belong to Hashem. Hashem says, what do you mean? They're not your mitzvahs. I set you up to do those mitzvahs. So as much as, again, the takeaway from this piece, and the reason that so many Sifrei Chassidus are expounding upon this piece, and they want us to really live with this piece, because you look at ourselves and say, it's so hard for me to do mitzvahs. Well, guess what? That's called earning your soul. That's called earning a permanent relationship with your soul. You say, yeah, but it'll be so much easier if I don't, right? If I don't know, if Yitein Lo Isha, if God would give me a soul. Make me a Jew already, like we said earlier this week. Hashem says, no. Shalom Asani Goy. I made you not a Goy. You make yourself a Jew. Work on yourself. Develop yourself. Become Yid. Work on your soul. Marry your soul. It's hard work, yes, but you know what? It's worth it. It pays off. Because if I give you the soul, then I also collect the credit. Then I get to keep the wife and the children. Okay? All right, turn the page. I'm going to say this piece outside very quickly, but I just want you to see where we are. In Yud Aleph, Chaf Aleph, Yud Aleph, I'll tell it to you outside, but it's a beautiful, beautiful Baracha. Again, B'derach Drush, B'derach Remez, as he calls it. V'im Shalosh Eile Lo Yaseh La V'yotza Chinam Ein Kasef. It's talking about a person who sells his daughter as a slave. Right? The Ama Ivriel. And if she doesn't get married, and he wants to take another one, he has to make sure he doesn't diminish sheirak susav onasa. And if shlosha eila lo yaseh, lo yaseh la, if he doesn't do those three things for her, if he doesn't provide for her, then he has to set her free ein kasef without payment. Okay? And we saw these psukim at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of kedusha. So it says the rachaim akadosh for nira lefarish parshasu derech remes. He says the ish who marries off his daughter, or who's selling his daughter, right? The Ish is Hashem, and the daughter is Klal Yisrael. And we're being sold into Galus. So we ask Hashem, why are you putting us in Galus? Why is this lasting so long? After all, Hashem, right? We're also your wife, as the Pesukim describe. The marriage, the potential marriage of this daughter who's been sold. So we say, Hashem, as your wife, how do you allow this to happen? So Hashem says, what? Asher lo ya'ada. The one who has not been designated. Now, lo is a kriya ksiv. It's lo with an vav, and it's lo with an aleph. So Chaim HaKadosh says, Hashem says, listen, if you act right, then lo with a vav, then you're my wife. And I would never do this to you. But if you act wrong, lo, then lo yada, then you're not mine. Then you're not designated to me. And then you have to go to Galus, and you have to suffer. So we say back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand. We're not your wife. We're not like a daughter. But maybe we should be like a son. Maybe we can be v'im livno yadena, the pasuk says. Maybe Hashem treat us like a son, and maybe in that way we certainly can't be treated worse than the umos ha'olam. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Listen, I'm not so sure. Your behavior is pretty bad." We say, "But Hashem, at least shalosh e'la." Look what he says: a tefillah for Klal Yisrael. At least shalosh e'la lo yasa. Right? Could it be that you're not doing these three things for us? She'era k'susa v'onasa. She'era, somewhat kipshuto, at least like one of the Tanayim. Are you providing me with, at the very least, food? Ksusa, Hashem, clothing? Is that too much to ask? And lastly, onasa, which of course in this context means spending time with one's wife, both in an intimate and non-intimate fashion, but spending quality time. So he translates onasa as what? At least be onah, answer our tefillos. We're suffering, at least tell us you hear our voice. If you're not ready to take us out of Gaza, at least show us a sign that you're listening. Right? So we continue to negotiate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, well, you know, again, you've acted very poorly. So we say to Hashem, yeah, but guess what? The problem is that we're stuck in Gullus. That's why we're acting poorly. Set us free and you'll see that we're actually very good. Ein kosef, and we shouldn't have to pay anymore. We've paid enough with our suffering. So it's mamish, a whole conversation between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael about our the lengthening of the Gullus. Okay, the final piece for today, Chaf Beis Hei. Take a look very quickly. Actually, let me keep that open for a second. Chaf Beis Hei. The Chumash is describing now some of the psukim about damages. Ki teitzei eish umatza kotzim v'nechol gadish o akama o asada shalem yishalem hamavir es habeira. It's amazing what he does with this pasuk. If a fire goes forth and it finds thorns, and a stack of grain or a standing crop or a field is consumed, the one who lit the fire should pay. We'll make restitution. He has to pay. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh Lishitaso. Take a look. It's a little bit of a sad piece to end on, but it ends on a moment of something hopeful. Ki teitze eish, perish. Hagam shehidlik besoch shalo. No, let's go to the second paragraph. Odnis kavin ba'omro. Yeah, second paragraph. Sorry, third one. V'derech remes.
You see it?
Starts with Derech Remez. We'll start there. With Derech Remez, Tirmos HaTorah Asher Yisovu HaRisham BeRisham. Ki Teitze Eish. When there's evil in the world. Ki Teitze Eish. When there's evil, when there's fires of evil being lit in the world. Yeah? As Asher Yisovu HaRisham BeRisham. Kedesh Yisora Adam Mitardemas Shnas Sichlo. Ba'abito HaFlagas HaRoos Asher Yavu La'olam. When you see fires burning in the world, wake up! Don't you realize what's happening? The world is falling apart. Why? It's falling apart because of rishis. Because there's evil in the world. And it's affecting not only the evil one, it's affecting a lot of other people. The fires that are being started by select individuals are spreading. And they're harming people. When a fire goes forth, the pains and suffering of Klal Yisrael are called Eish. Of course, the Gemara in Yom about the Malach Gavriel in that regard. That Eish is always Dinim. Umatza Kotzim, two lines later, you find Kotzim. If the fire goes out and it finds thorns, who are the thorns? Those are the Rasham, the ones who actually lit the fires. Heima Rasham She'inim Ela Kotzim Achivim. The wicked ones, which are like thorns in our side. V'omru Lashon Matza, it finds, interesting. If the fire goes out and finds thorns, when you find something, it means that what? That it was not with much kavana. The same way that Hashem is not paying much attention to the Rasha. The Rasha has been discarded. The Rasha is not living with Hashkacha Pratis, where Hashem is paying close attention. Umatza. Alderach Omer v'haya kitimseno oso. V'atam yishom sharasha ein lo bailim. Ki adon baruch hu, hinei hu pakarbo. He's rejected Hashem. He's living a carefree lifestyle. He's disconnected. He's like a lost object. So guess what? Umatza. When he's punished, he's also going to be discovered almost like a lost object. The Heser Adnusom Eilav, he's thrown off Hashem from him. Vashem his Tirpanu Mimenu, and Hashem has therefore concealed his face from this Rasha. Omeyata Arehu Kemitzia, V'chola Pogeya Yasebo Ritzono. Like a lost object, right? Without Simanim, you can keep it for yourself and do as you please. So too this Rasha is going to get. He's going to have to suffer. He'll be discarded by Hashem. And he'll be left to be taken advantage of as a punishment. But not only are the thorns consumed by the fire, what else is consumed by the fire? V'nechal gadish. The stalks of grain are also consumed. The piles of grain. Kan ramaz al tinokos shel beis rabban. The school children. That little girl I was describing earlier, who gets killed on the side of the road from some drunken driver. Right? What did she do wrong? She's just a gaddish. She's just some grain at the side of the road that's been piled up, lying on its side. Doesn't even have the strength to stand on its own feet. A child, Rahman al-Litzlan, who suffers in this world. Shadayin ein lam koma. Can't even stand erect on its own. El gedushim. Like a kid who's dependent upon others. El gedushim shiboles im chaverta. Right? Like a group of kids playing in the playground. Piled together. But when there's evil in the world, guess what? People suffer. Innocent people suffer. And he'll say, why is it fair? He says, I'll tell you a little bit why it's fair. Because at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem didn't want to give us the Torah until someone said that we will be the Ari, we will be the guarantor. And the Medrash, it's a beautiful Medrash in Shir HaShir. This is a very beautiful medrash in Shir Shirim. I have a friend, a Rav, who says this is his favorite medrash. He tells it every year on Shavuos. When we realize Kabbalah Satorah, it's entirely dependent upon the children. That they were the ones who were the Arev and the guarantors for Torah. And therefore, when people are not living a life of Torah, guess what? Hashem collects from the guarantors. That's why children sometimes have to pay the price. It's a tragic thing. It's a painful thing. Oh, Hakama, or the standing stock. Who's the standing stock? The tzaddikim. Sometimes a tzaddik dies because of the avonos of the generation. And that's, again, it's a terrible tragedy. But the tzaddik's willing to take a hit for the team. Oh, hasadeh, sometimes the whole field is burning. Sometimes Klal Yisrael's, all of Klal Yisrael suffering because of evil in the world. It's not enough to just take the children and the tzaddikim. V'odia kasev, I jumped ahead a bunch of lines. I'm sorry if you don't see exactly where I am. Ki yesh yom lakel ayom lavo b'mishpatim asov b'mesadavar. But realize that eventually, like it says at the end, the one who lit the fire is going to pay. The Rishon are going to be the ones who pay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay back all of the innocent people who are trampled along the way. That they will not be the ones to pay, but the Rasha will pay. So, again, this is the harsh reality of Bechira. The choices we make matter in this world. Of course, Hashem will keep the score, and even the score, and make sure everything works out okay. But again, we have to turn all of these very nitty-gritty details of Parsha Mishpatim into tefilos. The tefilah of Klal Yisrael. Again, an Eitzah in Avodas Hashem, to be an Eved Ivri, to understand that my body is not forever, and my neshama is, and to work on my soul, and to not be frustrated by the fact that I have a lowly soul, and to cry out to Hashem, I've been in Gullus too long. This is no way to treat a daughter, or a wife, or a son, right? And Hashem, at the very least, She'era, Ksusa, Onasa, Lo Yigra, give us something. Tell us that you still care about us. And again, of course, to try to do what we can to uproot evil in this world, knowing that Hashem will certainly pay back the Rishon, and Amir Tashem Klal Yisrael, Amir Kulam Tzadikim, will be zocha only to good things, and we should all have the strength that he's describing here to rise up once again with the Gula Shleim Amitas Meherbi Amenu Amen. La 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 la